At today's City Club meeting, DuPage County Board Chair Dan Cronin was the speaker. Cronin won election first in 2010 and again in 2014 after serving in the Illinois General Assembly for 20 years. While on the job, he's cut the county budget by more than $30 million and reformed employee benefits that will save $20 million over the next two decades.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris Roebling, for that very kind and generous introduction. Also want to thank Jay Doherty. Really appreciate the chance to come down here and speak. I know Tweed Thornton's not here today, but you have an awesome organizational leadership structure here at City Club, and it's a lot of fun for all of us to participate. I'm really, really gratified to see a lot of friends and folks that I work together with day in and day out, and really, really appreciate you coming down and spending a little bit of time here. I particularly want to point out and just acknowledge and thank the board members. Anybody who knows county government understands that it's about teamwork. It's about working together with people. And I have an awesome team in DuPage County, and I want to thank all the board members who are here with me today. Chairman Burke, President Preckwinkle, State's Attorney Berlin, thank you so much, all of you. I also want to point out the best chief of staff in DuPage or in any county, and that's Tom Kuklich back there. He's just outstanding guy. So I'm here. This is actually my sixth time that I've had the honor and privilege of speaking to you as DuPage chairman. And as you know, we as City Club speakers are asked to share our perspective, our view of the world. That's what they invite us to do, and maybe make a prediction or two. And so I wonder what would you think if I had predicted the current crisis in our government and in our politics today, right? If memory serves me correctly, I told you a year ago that a $1 billion hole existed for the Chicago Public Schools, and in Springfield, the job at that time was to plug a $6.6 billion state budget hole for the next fiscal year. Is it possible that those problems sound like a drop in the bucket based on what we see now? On the political side, you probably would have tried to get me involuntarily committed if I predicted then, last year, that Illinois Republicans would choose Donald Trump as their presidential nominee. And what if I had told you a far-left, near-socialist from Vermont would have won more votes in DuPage County than Hillary Clinton? Now, I guess I wonder why we're surprised. We've seen this trending, I think, in our politic for the last several years. And I think it's fair to say that the Illinois voters were very frustrated, very, very unhappy when they went to the polls and elected Bruce Rauner because he pledged to fix a broken state. And Lord knows it is broken. Created by what voters perceived as machine politics, vested interests, public unions that had become too powerful in Springfield. I think those were the themes. That was the perception, right? And clearly, primary voters are registering their disdain with the political mainstream. It gets all of us, professional and amateur pundits, thinking. Maybe because voters thought President Obama's hope and change would impact them more or differently in the areas of opportunities or jobs. Perhaps some Democratic voters are embracing Bernie Sanders not so much as a choice for political idealism, but as a choice for a person they trust, right? I mean, these are not revolutionary thoughts, against a person who they view as part of the political establishment. And perhaps we could say the same about Donald Trump, that his supporters prefer his version of political reality over those in the so-called mainstream. Well, puzzling to many of us, the unpredictable swings in this year's primary season do and should inform our approaches as political and business leaders, I think. If you look at the data and the surveys from voters in their 30s and younger, you see a really interesting story. Landing a high-paying job, buying a car or your first house, getting married, raising a family, that's not necessarily among their primary goals, as they were for many of us who graduated in the, let's say, the 80s. Let's go with that decade. Today's younger voters are concerned about crippling debt, police brutality, income inequality, free trade, just to name a few issues. Our assumptions had been, I think, that young people, while idealistic, they didn't really understand how to get things done. Well, I think we were wrong. They're getting it done in numbers that none of us could have predicted as they propel Bernie Sanders to strong finishes and victories across the country. I think certainly Sanders and Trump's successes are making us, political and business leaders, reevaluate the voters and the customers. We need to take a hard look at why they support these candidates and maybe why they feel so disenfranchised. And make no mistake, there is a winning is everything mentality now in political campaigns. We can see it in the unprecedented millions spent by Republicans and Democrats alike in the most recent round of primary races. So the question that I like to ask, if I may, is have the incrementalists, people like me, have we given up so much ground trying to achieve compromise that voters feel sold out? Despite their support, does anybody think a Donald Trump or a Bernie Sanders would be happily engaged in the job of governing or even marginally successful at bringing two sides together? I don't know. I doubt it, though. Because the reality is, that's what democracy demands. Progress is only possible within our system of government via compromise. And even when the winner takes all, he or she faces a legislative system built on compromise. As we've seen and felt sharply here in Illinois, a standoff leads both sides to standing still, not moving themselves, their party, or more importantly, our state forward. I thoroughly understand and appreciate the governor's position. I'm on the governor's team, that we need structural change. I also understand the speaker, who views some of these changes as undermining a very, very core constituency. But the impasse in Springfield wears on, and the impact is real. The pain is felt all over the state. I'm reminded of stories that my father would tell me from his experiences as an orthopedic surgeon. Many of you may remember my dad, Dr. Richard Cronin. He trained and influenced hundreds of surgeons during his career, many of them at Loyola University Medical Center. And he would talk about this. He'd often be frustrated in the operating room when one of his very intense residents would be trying to repair a broken hip or a shoulder just perfectly, right? Aligning the pins just so. And in the meantime, he'd describe, you know, there's blood dripping on the floor, and the patient's vital signs are spiraling down to critical life-threatening levels. At some point, he would say to the young, idealistic, well-intentioned resident, you know, you got to arrive at a good solution here. Not necessarily the perfect solution, but get a good solution to save the patient. It is a dramatic example, I think, of that old adage, the enemy of good is perfect, right? But I'm not naive. I spent 20 years in Springfield, and I know when the climate is and is not ripe for compromise. And with all this standing still, we're nowhere on the budget, nowhere on pension reform, nowhere on state credit rating or fixing Chicago public schools. We've seen small groups of bipartisan legislators trying to find a budget solution. When I was in Springfield 2 weeks ago, we found common ground on an issue that has motivated me for several years now. How about reducing the overwhelming size, scope, and cost of local government? Have you heard me talk about that before? As most of you know, this is an issue that I've been working on for the past 6 years. And I'm pleased to report to you that there's been significant progress as a number of bipartisan lawmakers have taken up this charge. And as many of you heard me discuss in the past, of course, we have this really, really dubious distinction here in Illinois. We have more units of local government than any other state in the nation, by far, right? How many? Well, according to three different respected sources, the number is anywhere between 6,000 and 8,500. It seems no one has a definitive number, which is sort of telling about the magnitude of the problem. We can't even define it. This issue caught the attention of HBO, that's right, and comedian John Oliver, who spent a whole show exploring the cost of too much inefficient government.
If you think about it, it's a little weird in a country that talks so much about government accountability that a huge amount of our tax dollars go to fund entities that most of us know absolutely nothing about. You may not even know how many districts you are living in right now.
A school district may overlap with a park district, a water district, a sewer district, and so on, such that it wouldn't be at all uncommon for one person to be finding themselves within the boundaries of 10 or more of these districts.
That's right. Think of a special district like a cult. It can take your money, and you may not even be aware that you are in one.
So Oliver calls these special districts, he calls them ghost governments. Ironically, as University of Chicago professor Chris Berry, whom I've met and worked with and is a marvelous guy, points out in that video clip, there are now 40,000 special districts in the United States, accounting for over $100 billion in spending each year. Here in Illinois, where we have the nation's first or second highest property tax rate, the number of governmental units is somewhere north of 6,000 and south of 8,500. As this slide demonstrates, three respected sources, including the comptroller's office, can't agree on that number. But, you know, take your choice. I don't know. Choice number one, two, or three, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's a lot. As a tax-paying resident, you may have more than a dozen special districts listed on your local property tax bill. And as John Oliver aptly points out, you may never even have heard of these governments and may have absolutely idea what they do. There's a reason why our property taxes are among, if not the highest in the nation. And my point over the years has been, really, some of these ghost governments really sort of like it that way, right? Flying under the radar with no transparency or oversight, they can collect tax dollars, spend or let those dollars build up exactly as they see fit. Some perform necessary service for taxpayers admirably and wisely. Others are relics of decades in the past, redundant performing functions that a municipality or some other entity is already doing or could do. And the taxpayer dollars are simply just not being used appropriately or efficiently, or they're not prioritized. In fact, that's the argument we made in the Illinois legislature about 3 years ago when we tried to pass a bill that would allow us, only those of us in DuPage County, to potentially consolidate some 13 county-appointed local units of government. You could say that the special interests almost bit my head off. What the heck? Leo DiCaprio eventually prevailed over the bear, and so did we. But like most lawmakers who've approached this issue, we sort of limped away nursing our wounds. After the Herculean effort needed, we knew we would be, let's say, strategic about how we would poke the bear in the future. We knew that we had to develop a different game plan. And we all know who the bear is in this scenario, right? These bears like to file slips, dozens and dozens, against legislation that might threaten their status quo, jobs, contracts, patronage, their way of life. Last year, we had just a few proponents, three, and we were buried by opponents, 167, fighting legislation that would move the DuPage consolidation model to Lake and McHenry County. So we were feeling a little bit like this guy. Yeah, alone in our fight to make government more effective and efficient at the local level. But just like in the movies, sometimes the universe sends you a sail, and we too used the tools we had and fashioned a raft. For the past 18 months, I've been working with a bipartisan group of civic leaders, nonprofits, and lawmakers dedicated to the notion that these legacy government systems need to be revisited and reformed. We started a group called Transform Illinois. That's Transform Illinois in October of 2014. A few months later, Governor Rauner created the statewide task force on local government consolidation chaired by Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti. What a marvelous, marvelous opportunity to work together on this important issue. Over the past 18 months, this little reform that could has gained traction. And now we have significant support. Well, not exactly like that, but you get the idea. We've actually become kind of somewhat well thought of. In addition to the great members of our Transform Illinois Coalition, The Metropolitan Planning Council has been a great partner, and Mary Sue Barrett, I know, I think Nancy is here today. Better Government Association has joined us, Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, Taxpayers Federation, Metropolitan Mayors Caucus, CMAP, Illinois Chamber, 20 lawmakers, Democrats and Republicans alike, sponsored 22 pieces of legislation this session, which call for government consolidation, collaboration, and transparency. A measure of our success is that our efforts have changed the conversation about local government. For example, I am joined here today by Naperville Mayor Steve Cherico. Several weeks ago, Steve was joined by legislators and the governor to announce his city's desire to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the Naperville Township Highway Department to provide maintenance, plowing, and rebuilding of the roads in the highway district, resulting in substantial cost savings for the taxpayers. I was so thrilled to attend the news conference they held on this topic as a spectator. I was glad to be a spectator, not the guy trying to stir up interest in the idea, but finally to cheer on my new leader on this issue, Steve Cherico, and for taking up this very, very important cause. Let's give Steve a round of applause. As Mayor Cherico points out, the city can provide this service cheaper because it maintains 500 miles of roadway and the township maintains just 16. And I'm not a mathematician, but common sense tells us, and the city's estimates show, economies of scale will save hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mayor Cherico was thoughtful as he proposed this idea. Note, he is not proposing that they get rid of the township highway commissioner. He'll still be there, the elected representative of the road district, to set the road district levy, manage the cash reserves. But the decision is supported by the council and the majority of the township trustees. But the ultimate decision rests solely on the highway commissioner. He's not very motivated in this department. But the highway commissioner has been less than receptive. Maybe he'll come around soon. But Mayor Cherico has been educating elected officials and the public about his effort to streamline and modernize this unit of local government. So I commend Mayor Cherico, and my hat is off to him. You know, the reality is we would all be called upon to do more with less. You know, you say, why are you so fixated on this whole consolidation, Cronin? Why is that so important to you? Well, it's important because I believe that we in local government have to adjust to a new normal. The new normal in local government is that we have to plan on less state funding. I think that's fair to say, which means that we, too, must live within our means. We must do more with less. We must be more creative. We must entertain private contracting, all sorts of different ways and approaches, often while providing the same or even more service for each dollar spent. That's a pretty tall order to do more with less, especially when you consider some of these challenges. In DuPage County, for example, we have a growing number of children living in poverty. From 1999 to 2012, the number of children living in poverty in DuPage has increased 137% compared to 39% statewide. Between 2005 and 2013, children's enrollment in Medicaid and related programs in DuPage increased by 127% compared to 42% statewide. Our senior population, like in many other places, is exploding. By the year 2025, the number of county residents aged 75 or older will grow by 71%. And so, too, will all the needs and the services for housing, transportation, and medical care. And on top of all of this, we are fighting a very intense and deadly battle with heroin and prescription pain pill abuse. Last year, we lost 43 people to heroin. These are challenges that are motivating me. You know, the consolidation is not the end game. The consolidation, the efficiency, is a way to get to the important priorities of government. Streamlining, modernizing, making our government at every level as efficient as it can be is a tough task, no doubt. Like so many have done in the private sector, it's time for us to revisit, redesign how our local governments provide services. Change within these legacy systems is slow, but as we pick up speed, Our victories will provide important momentum, and I can feel it right now. It's taken root. We've seen it in Springfield. There's plenty of doom and gloom, no doubt, when we consider our great state and its challenges, but please consider this opportunity. When I first raised the issue, people rolled their eyes. They begged me to talk about something else, you know? And when I discussed the need to reform local government. 6 years later, I'm still talking about it, and I can report to you that, with $100 million in projected savings in DuPage, that's real, that's measurable, it's conservative. Two, reduced employee benefit and retirement cost. Three, local agreements to share services and purchase cooperatively with municipalities, the forest preserve, and townships. Four, we maintain a flat property tax rate and a AAA bond rating. Now, most people aren't rolling their eyes anymore, are they? Yeah, there you go. They're asking, how do we do it? So, thanks, Rosie. You can learn more about how we and others are saving money, changing the culture. That's the biggest obstacle, the culture. In local government via our Transform Illinois website at transformillinois.org. We have a resource page that provides tips, tools, and tactics so that other legislators, local government officials, and staff don't have to reinvent the wheel. We're happy to share what we've learned. And I know that we have Nancy is here from Transform Illinois. If there are any other of our partners here, it really is a fabulous organization. And we think it will be part of the culture in the state of Illinois from now into the foreseeable future. Our goal is to bring these streamlining efforts to all the other 101 counties in our state. I'm a realist. I know that making government more efficient and effective takes time. Progress is incremental, so victories can be small. Transform Illinois brings Democrats, Republicans, think tanks, nonprofits, local officials together to figure out a better way. In a year that may be remembered as a year in state government for its remarkable inaction, I'm proud to report one area where we've been able to bring folks together from all over the political spectrum to consider a problem and to develop creative, forward-thinking solutions. So I believe that if we take this approach county by county, we can eventually create real savings that make the land of Lincoln work more effectively, more efficiently for all of us. Thank you very much for the chance to speak here today.
Great job. Don't go anywhere. All right, folks, the second half of the program belongs to you. I'm looking for questions. I've got one, but we're looking for more. All right, who's writing down their questions? You can just send them.
You don't have.
You don't have to. Have you got one to get started?
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, remarkably, you know, when I first proposed the bill that gave us this unprecedented authority to consolidate 13 units of local government, I mean, you know, Senator Cullerton was a very enthusiastic supporter, John Cullerton. I mean, it's a bipartisan issue. Governor Rauner, it's a very, very important issue to him. He's appointed a task force. I mean, this is an area where I think we can all come together on and find common ground. Yeah, we got legacy government. I've told this story many times, but, you know, some of these governments, they've been around 3-4 generations. You don't know who they are. Yeah, I'm not saying they're evil, but it's just... There's just we just can't afford it anymore. Yes.
Any others? Have we written anything down, guys? Okay. All right. Well, Eric, are you going to grace? Here is Eric Elk. Stand and give us your question.
What are you telling me? He's got a question.
He looked inquisitive.
Father David Ryan gave me a question, and this is from Father David Ryan. Okay, he's the guy over there. Dan, do you think the people of the city of Chicago would be better served under the leadership of Mayor Tony Preckwinkle?
I love Tony. I think she does a marvelous job at Cook County. I really enjoy our great working relationship. Had a real positive meeting with Mayor Emanuel last week as well, so I'm not going to step into that trap.
Let's give him a round of applause.